The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary of Magdala. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple there whom he loved, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour the disciple took her into his home. After this, aware that everything was now finished, in order that the scripture might be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I thirst." There was a vessel filled with common wine. So they put a sponge soaked in wine on a sprig of hyssop and put it up to his mouth. When Jesus had taken the wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he handed over the spirit. Now since it was preparation day, in order that the bodies might not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for the Sabbath day of that week was a solemn one, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs be broken and they be taken down. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first, and then of the other one who was crucified with Jesus. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one soldier thrust his lance into his side, and immediately blood and water flowed out. The Gospel of the Lord. Yeah, it's a day with some complexity for us. We're celebrating, by the liturgical calendar, Mary, Mother of the Church. We're celebrating Memorial Day. As a nation, and of course there are points of correspondence of the 2 days, and we can celebrate them accordingly. Certainly, I think giving one's life in the cause of right, you know, how significant a theme that is. For both, you know, service in the church and service of our country, and in protection not simply of our, you know, freedoms or our way of life, but for others, right? For flesh and blood, human beings, and certainly that's a project that God cares deeply about, right? Flesh and blood, human beings, so much so that, you know, he wants to revive us. He wants to re-enliven us, according to the project that he began so long ago in the garden. And as a project of self-giving, certainly we can honor the sacrifice of those who have given their all, again in the cause of right and for the sake of justice and peace. The passage here. There are some immediate implications for the feast of Mary, Mother of the Church, where we see that John is presented to Mary on the cross by Jesus as her son, the beloved disciple. Yeah, and we all are made to be or called to be beloved disciples of Christ Jesus, which means then that Mary is our mother. You can test me on the logic later, do you know? But this is, that was A plus B equals C, do you know, for those of you who need that. This is, we all find, you know, in the Gospel of John, we're inclined to believe that he himself is the beloved disciple, but he's written his Gospel in such a way that we ought to see ourselves in him. And so, where we see the beloved disciple, we're simply supposed to see ourselves, those loved by Christ Jesus, right? Loved into the relationship of discipleship, where we then apprentice under him to be preachers of the kingdom of God, and to advance God's rule in the world, chiefly by self-giving love. And that's what we see. In fact, there are some remarkable similarities between the seventh sign in the Gospel of John and the first sign, where we see again interactions between Mary and Jesus. You know what the first sign is, right? So I don't have to get. Yeah, do you know? Anyone? He's like, "Don't torture me on Memorial Day," right? This is the. I get you, right? It's the wedding at Cana, right? And there's a lot of, there are a lot of liquids in that scene as well. Do you know, there's water and wine, and of course we have the water here as well. You know, Jesus says at that time, my hour is not yet come. Well, this is his hour. The cross is his glorification, the glorification of God. This is what he lives for. He lives for that ultimate sacrifice of full and free self-giving. But even at that time, in Cana, Mary's on the scene, right? She's kind of organizing things. But this is what my mother does for me as well, right? She's like organizing things, make me look successful. Do you know? Like, it's like, okay, okay. And Jesus needed that too. You know, he was a man. We forget that. Yeah, he was a man, not a woman, a man. So he needed help. You know, it's the way it is. But she's convinced at the time, right, that the answer is, even though she doesn't know what the answer is, she knows that the answer is going to be people doing whatever Jesus tells them. This is where my mother and I depart from the gospel passage. You know, I need help, but she knows that the answer is not that people do whatever I tell them. But anyway, Jesus, do whatever he tells you. Do whatever Jesus tells you. And we see then the life of faithful discipleship grow around that point, right? Isn't that simply the heart of discipleship, to say we are going to do whatever Jesus tells us? You know, here this ironic scene with Jesus being enthroned on the cross, you know, drinking the wine of the lowly soldier, going down to the depths, himself the source and spring of living water, thirsting on the cross, right? Going down to the depths and even despair of humanity's plight, and there providing for us, yeah, the rich wine of God's love, his own life of love, the water that flows from his side to give life to the entire world. This is our hope and this is our joy. And of course, yeah, I don't want to lose sight of the fact that we're celebrating Mary, and how fitting it is, right, to have that that reading from Acts where Mary is with the apostles in prayer, which is it's easy for us to see some 2,000 years on just how central a figure Mary was in the church. And it ought to give us some sense then of what the church actually is, right? Because no matter what, I mean, I think we're formed by our culture in very strong ways, and our culture in particular is still very keen, I think, on productivity as a measure of success, right? Productivity, things like efficiency and whatever. We're still children of the Industrial Revolution in that sense, but we're like, we have to be active, doing, all that kind of thing. Right? And we see then in the simplicity of Mary and her faithfulness, her faithful love, her motherly care, that this is the activity that God wants her and wants us to be about, right? In the sense of Mary is the most humble, right? It's why she gets to play one of the biggest parts in the world. It's because of her humility. It's not because of her, say, rate of production. It's not because of her, I don't know, I say needless activity, right, to kind of just buzzing about. This is not who she is. She's a contemplative. She holds all these things in her heart. She's pondering over the deep mysteries of God that are being made present to her and that she's being caught up in. Like, this is for us as well, to enter deeply into the mysteries in prayer, to enter deeply into the relationship with Jesus such that, yeah, before he's even on the scene, we know that the answer is going to be doing whatever he tells you, doing whatever he tells us, right? Because he's the one who's going to take the initiative. He's the one who's going to take charge. He's the one who's going to lead the way. So yeah, he does lead the way, and Mary is pointing to him. We understand that Mary is not only the mother of Jesus, and as the mother of God, the mother of Jesus, she's the mother of his body. She's the mother of the body of Christ, and that's us. And so we need that maternal care and guidance and strength. You know, we need the strength to endure being at the foot of the cross. And we need to know that when we ourselves are persevering in a life of great and costly love, we also have Mary with us, right alongside of us, persevering, sharing our struggle, sharing our pain, giving us the courage we need to continue to do whatever it is he tells us. And knowing that, of course, that what it is he tells us to do is to live that life of radical generosity, to live that life of total self-gift without counting the cost, giving ourselves in the cause of right, giving ourselves for the sake of God's justice, which will be brought about by his mercy, and living so to achieve peace, not only in ourselves and our own little sphere, but also to have that the ripple effect into the world around us. So, yeah, we honor Mary as the mother of the church. We honor those who have gone before us, fighting for us, giving themselves totally for our sake, and ourselves, caught up in the two feasts that we celebrate then as well today. To be inspired to live that life of self-giving, no matter the cost, to live that life of self-giving, knowing that it is our joy, it is our strength to do so, it's our life to do whatever Jesus tells us.